Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Acts chapter 10. I have to start by saying that this was definitely an interesting week for me. Having been gone over the holidays, gone for 2.5 weeks, just getting back last weekend, I was eager to just spend some time on Monday and Tuesday praying and listening to where the Lord would lead us over the next few weeks. But I ended up going home Monday afternoon as I was just struggling with, you know, I don't know, flu-like symptoms. I don't know if it was the flu, what it was. But I figured I'd just go home, rest, and then get a good start on Tuesday to kind of get back into the flow of things. And though I was here for prayer Tuesday morning, I showed up at 6 a.m., half dead. I ended up going home again after prayer, spending most of the day in bed. I thought I would work on some stuff from bed, and next thing I knew, I slid my computer over and crashed for about 4 hours. Again, I came in Wednesday morning. I had an appointment that I hadn't canceled, and I knew I needed to be here, but as soon as that appointment was over, I went home again and got into bed. Again, I don't know if it was the flu or what it was, but it did a number on me. It was just wiping me out all week. And on Thursday, I didn't even get out of bed until afternoon. And as I laid in bed, just thinking, I got to get some work done. all I could think of is, what am I going to do on Sunday? You know, and I didn't even have any of those cool videos that I would hold in my back pocket from time to time. I was like, I just used my last one a few months ago that God told me to use. And I had no idea what I was going to speak on, no idea how I was even going to figure it out, because I was just out of it. I also realized that I had a lot of emails, you know, being gone 2.5 weeks as a pastor, my email box was full. And I had a lot of emails that I needed to deal with. There were a few in particular dealing with stuff with the city that I needed to talk to them about. And so I laid there in bed kind of going through emails, trying to figure out how I was going to get through this stuff and figure out a message for today. But it was in the midst of going through my emails that I came across one of Foursquare's daily devotionals. They send out these devotions, and I began to read one of the devotionals, and it referenced Acts chapter 10, and it talked about Peter and this moment in history where he had to kind of rethink his perspective. And as I read that devotional, it began to spark something in my mind for this week. If you were here last week, you know that I took the title from Sheila's message a few weeks ago, and I played off of it. She had spoke a message titled 2020 Vision, Seeing Through the Right Eyes. So I utilized the 2020 Vision part and did a message last week that I titled 2020 Vision, Seeing True Change. And I talked about putting off the old, putting on the new, kind of as we enter into this new year. And as I read this devotional about Peter, I thought, hey, I could use this 2020 vision thing once again. And so I titled my message this morning, 2020 Vision, Seeing Things Differently. So we're carrying on today with an unintentional series that, unbeknownst to me, had been intended by God all along. And so, like I said, it's been a crazy, interesting week for me. But like always, God had a plan, and he has given us a word that I think will challenge us and encourage us to see things differently as we head into this new year, 2020. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me as we dive into Acts chapter 10. We're going to read verses 1 through 33. Not all of it, but a good chunk of Acts chapter 10. And so this is what it says beginning in verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything pure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Peter went down and said to the men, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? The men replied, we have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I am only a man myself. While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or clean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius answered, 3 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everyone the Lord has commanded you to tell us. We're going to stop there, like I said. Now, the truth is, when you look at the scripture, this is a pretty challenging section of scripture for Peter, as he finds himself having to see things a little differently than he used to see things. But it's a very, very, very important section of scripture that we can learn from this morning. Because up until this time, the only Jew who had become, who had become followers of Jesus were Jews. Jews were the only one that had converted to Christianity. And it's in this section of scripture that we see the first Gentiles, the first non-Jews, come to follow Jesus. Now, the thing is there are many things that we could look at and talk about in regards to this scripture this morning. There is a lot packed into these 33 verses. But as I took time to study and kind of read through it in regards to seeing things differently, there were three things that stood out to me that I want to share with you this morning. And so the first thing I want to share is this. Number one, even believers need to see things differently at times. Because there isn't anyone out there that has it all 100% right. We may think we have it 100% right. We may think we have it all together, but there isn't anyone that has it 100% right. Like I have said before, every single one of us has a messed up theology. The problem is we just don't know which part is messed up. As I mentioned earlier, up until this time, all the people who had become followers of Jesus were Jews. And as they went into the world to share the gospel like God had told them to, like Jesus had said, they didn't share the gospel with Gentiles. They were going into the temple and telling the good news to fellow Jews. Up until this time, it was only Jews that had been told about this new faith in Christ. Now, choosing to follow Jesus did change a few things for these Jews that had become Christians. They no longer offered sacrifices the way that they used to, right? And that's because Jesus had become the final sacrifice. He had become the perfect sacrifice. Another thing that had changed is they no longer kept Saturday as the Sabbath, because they now celebrated Sunday in remembrance of the day that Jesus rose from the dead. But even though these things changed, these Christians in the early church were still very much good Jews. And they still thought like Jews thought, for the most part, which means they still tried to follow the law. They still avoided those things that were considered to be unclean. Things like certain meats. And then also things like Gentiles, non-Jews, which is basically, again, anybody that wasn't a Jew was considered a Gentile. But God was about to change all that here in these scriptures, which is why Peter and these new believers' way of thinking needed to change. God's desire is that all would come to know him, whether Jew or Gentile. So God gives Peter this vision to help him see that things are changing. And Peter needs to be willing to see things differently. In verse 28, Peter tells Cornelius and those that are with him, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. That those things that that they had considered to be unclean, God had now made clean. We see this first in the vision that Peter had with the food. This food that he was now being told by God to eat. That this went against anything and everything he had been taught as a good Jew. So for them to begin to go down this road meant that they were going to have to look at things a little differently. And from Peter's first response, we all know that change is never easy. In verse 14, Peter responds by saying, "Surely not, Lord." Peter replied, "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." His first response is, "Wait, well, no, not me. I'm not going to do that," right? God had to actually show it to him three times before it finally clicked. You see, the reality is all of us fall short. None of us have all the answers. Not even Peter had the answers. Which means we have to be willing to see things differently at times. Because the more and more we grow in the Lord, the more he reveals himself to us. The more we begin to understand who He is and who He desires us to be. I can tell you in the 24 years that I have been in ministry, there are numerous parts of my theology that have changed over those years. The closer I get to God, the more I realize how messed up some of my theology had been. It's true for everyone, whether we really want to admit it or not. Peter, he was a pillar in the early church. He was one of Jesus' closest disciples. Yet he had to continually be corrected by the Lord. And he continually had to adjust his thinking. We all need to be willing to adjust our thinking. We all need to be willing to see things differently and to let God use those things to accomplish His will. We need to lay aside our agendas, because a lot of times that's the problem, right? We have these agendas of what we think needs to be done, and we have to lay aside our agendas and let God be God in and through our lives. Amen. Which goes hand in hand with my next point this morning, which is this. Number two, God wants us to see all people the way He does. Now, in some ways, this point is similar to our previous point, because this idea of grace and love towards all people was a way of seeing things differently for Peter in the early church. And I just realized I jumped way forward. You know, when you go to hit one page and I'm like, wait a second, man, I'm starting to go into a little bit later in my message. I made it its own point. That's what I was going to say, because I wanted to focus on this specific truth, because this is one of the core values of the New Testament church. And it's also a core value of our church, to love people. We see in these scriptures how God wanted Peter to respond to Cornelius and his men. First of all, God didn't want Peter to see these Gentiles as unclean, because He had made them clean. He wanted Peter to love and accept them just as they were. Now, it probably helped a little for Peter that Cornelius was this God-fearing man. We understand from the scriptures that Cornelius had obtained the favor of the Jews already. And so it wasn't such a huge leap for Peter to accept this man, Cornelius. But the hard part had to do with inviting these people into his house and eating with them, right? As Peter mentions in verse 28, you are all well aware that it's against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. And so you definitely didn't let him stay the night or eat with you, but he invites them into his house. And so it was huge for Peter to invite Cornelius's men to come in and stay the night, and then to go with them to Cornelius's house and eat and visit with them the next day. This was huge. This was huge for Peter. This was huge for the new church. But Peter was obedient to do what the Lord had spoke to him. And he accepted these men into his house and went with them to stay with Cornelius. He was learning to see all people the way God does. Now, as I was preparing, I was reminded of a story I read years ago when I first started in youth ministry. I remember using this illustration with my youth. It's a story about a visitor that showed up one day to a church. This visitor had long, scraggly hair. His clothes were dirty and a far cry from the Sunday best that most of the people there were wearing. And as he entered the church, it was pretty full. There weren't many empty seats available. And so the young, scraggly looking man made his way up the aisle to the front of the church. And he decided to just plop right down on the floor in front of the pastor. Now, the place grew quiet as people stared at this intruder. Then you could hear the faint whispers. What is he think he is? Coming in here like this. Doesn't he know this is the house of God? Then suddenly an elderly white-haired gentleman, well known to the congregation, slowly got up from his seat and began walking his way down the aisle towards this young man. Many people thought, good, he'll take care of this situation and straighten that young man out. But when the young man finally reached this young misfit sitting there in front of the pastor, he touched him on the shoulder and said, is this seat taken? The young man said no, so the elderly man painfully eased himself down onto the hard floor next to this man. The other people in the church then began to hang their heads in shame as they realized how unloving and accepting they had been in their hearts towards this stranger. Now, I remember this illustration, reading it when I was a youth pastor. I don't know if it's a true story or not, but it's a beautiful illustration of seeing others the way God sees them. Our desire here at Dallas Four Square Church is for people to be able to walk in those doors, to come into this place as they are. That regardless of who walks through those doors, that we would see them the way God sees them and love them with the love of Christ. You see, for years, the church, and when I say the church, I just mean the church in general, has had this kind of arrogance about it, as if they are better than the Gentiles, better than those non-believers, the sinners out there. But the thing we have to realize is that we're no better than the worst sinner that might wander into this place. Now, we may be better off if we have a relationship with Jesus and we've experienced His grace in our life. We may be better off because of that if we have a relationship with the Lord. But in and of ourselves, we're no better than them. We're all sinners. The reality is the ground is level at the foot of the cross. None of us is better than the next. And we're all called to love one another, to see one another in the way that Jesus sees us. You see, here's what I believe. You know, some of those things, when God looks at you, He sees that sin. And, you know, in Sunday school, sometimes your teachers, you know, what do you think when God sees you do something in school you shouldn't, do something on this, you know? Man, God looks at you and He just sees the sinner and blah, 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 blah. I don't think it's that way. Even when we fail, even when we mess up, I think when Jesus looks at us, He doesn't see Darren the sinner. He sees Darren, the one that loves Him and wants to do his best to honor Him, but sometimes makes mistakes and sometimes does things that he doesn't want to do. I believe when God looks at us, He sees beyond the sin, beyond the gunk, and He sees the person He created, who He loves and desires to grow in Him and eventually spend eternity in His presence. I think that's what we see the early church begin to learn here and begin to live out. They began to see things differently, and it changed everything. And then my final point I want to share from these scriptures this morning, we learned about already this morning in worship. Number three, obedience is always the right response to God. Even though Peter initially resisted God's voice to eat something that was considered unclean, he realized that it was God and that God was helping him to see things differently. And so he chose to obey the Lord. In verse 29, Peter tells Cornelius, I came without raising any objection. He knew God had called him to do this, and he walked in obedience. What if Peter would have refused to see things differently? What if he said, nope, we don't associate with non-Jews. I can't do it. What if he would have refused to go? What would have happened? Maybe God would have sent someone else. Maybe Philip or Barnabas or Paul would have eventually ministered to Cornelius. Maybe Peter's relationship with the Lord would have struggled for a while until he repented of his disobedience. We don't know the answer to that, and it really doesn't matter. You know why? Because Peter was obedient. He saw things differently. He listened to the Lord. He walked in obedience. You see, we don't know the answer to that. And it doesn't matter. Because he knew he had heard from the Lord and he was seeing things with God's eyes and he responded appropriately by being obedient. You see, when God speaks to us and tells us to do something, the right response is always going to be, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. There's an old song I remember singing in church that I thought of as I wrote those words. It's a song that used to go, yes, Lord, yes. To your will and to your way, I say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And the answer will be yes, Lord, yes. That's God's desire. As we serve Him, as we desire to walk in His ways, He simply wants us to say yes, to be obedient. The right response is always going to be yes. We may not understand it. It may not make sense to us at the time. We may not want to do it. But if God is asking us to do it, then we need to be willing to walk in obedience. Because the reality is God always knows better than us. He's God. He knows what's right. We think we know what's right. We think we know what we should do. But God knows what we should do. We have to remember that our knowledge and understanding is often limited. And we need to be willing to have an open mind, to see things differently, to see things with God's eyes. That this was something new and different for Peter and for the new believers. It went against what they thought and knew. It went against what they were raised to believe. And Peter had no idea how this simple act of obedience was going to open the door for all people, for you and me to be saved. You see, we never know what our obedience to Christ is going to do. When I said yes to being a senior pastor, even though it was the last thing I ever wanted to do in my life, I had no idea what it would mean. I had no idea that it would mean planting a church in Dallas, Oregon. I had no idea the blessing that I would get from being a part of such an amazing group of people. People who are willing to see things differently. That's what I love about this church. People who love and accept anyone that walks in these doors. That's what I love about this church. And it makes me so happy, so proud that I was willing to say yes. Because the right response to God is always yes. And as we continue to say yes, He continues to reveal more and more of who He is. And we continue to see things differently because we aren't seeing with our eyes. We're seeing with God's eyes. And as we head into 2020, let's not be people who see things the way we've always seen it. Let's not just do things because that's the way we've always done it. That's the worst answer in the world. When someone says, why did you do that? Well, because that's the way we've always done it. It's the worst answer. Let's not be people who let that be our answer. Instead, let's be willing to say things differently. And when people say, why did you do that? Because God told me to. And because my answer to Him is always yes. And may our answers in 2020 to Jesus always be yes. I don't know what God is going to ask of you this year. Some of you just hearing that phrase, it scares the crud out of you. It scares me. I have no idea what God's going to ask of me in 2020. But I know this, whatever it is, however hard it may be, I'm going to say yes. Because that's who He's called me to be. That's who He's called all of us to be, is people that say yes to Him. People who don't see things our way, but we see things His way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this word. This word that I had no idea of until Friday. As You began to stir in me some things through that just simple devotion that came from an email. But Lord, I believe that this word was Your word for today. And again, it's just that willingness for us to say, Lord, help me decrease so that You might increase. Our willingness to say, Lord, this, it's all about You. It's not about me. And so, Lord, we give You this word this morning. And as I said, may it challenge us. May it encourage us. May it help us to see things differently as we head into this new year, 2020. May we not just do things the way we've always done it, Lord. May we do things differently because You are leading us to new life in You this year, Lord. And so we thank You for Your word. We thank You for how You are stirring in our hearts today. And Lord, I just lay all these things before You. May we as individuals just soak in what You've done today in this service, Lord, in worship, through the word, through our time together, Lord, may we just breathe it in and allow You to make us different because of what You've done in and through our life today. And that as we go throughout our week, may we just begin to chew on some of those things that You're speaking to us, Lord. May we not hear this message and then continue to live the way we've been living. May we hear this message and allow it to stir in us to have our ears open to what You want to speak, to what You want to say to us so that we can say, yes, Lord, whatever You ask, whatever You desire, I will do because my desire is to be the man or woman of God that You've called me to be. I pray that for each of us for 2020, Lord. And we give these things to You in Jesus' precious name.